Welcome to the special ICTJ's podcast series on the future of international justice and the principle of complementarity. Today we'll be focusing on the outcomes of the high-level meeting co-organized in Greentree on 8 and 9 December by the International Center for Transitional Justice and UNDP, where international justice actors, development practitioners, and national experts debated how to implement the concept of complementarity in countries where large-scale crimes were committed. The two-day event featured presentations and discussions by top experts in the field on how to support national prosecutions and build capacity in judiciaries often devastated by conflict. We spoke with some of the leading authorities on the subject, including ICC representatives, principals of national courts, leaders of development agencies, and Assembly of State Party members, to try to grasp what are the next steps in putting the complementarity principle into practice. The first priority for most of the participants was the need to empower national judiciary systems to be able to try serious crimes. As the director of the Jurisdiction, Complementarity and Cooperation Division of the International Criminal Court, Pakiso Mochochoko, put it,
"The ICC itself is established and is working from The Hague. Therefore, for the credibility of any international or for any investigation and prosecution, it is necessary that the people on the ground or the people in those states themselves see justice being done in their own countries. Of course, for national judicial systems to be able to do that, they need to have the capacity to investigate and prosecute."
Tariq El-Toumi, Program Director of Lawyers for Justice in Libya, supports this role of the international community as an assistance and knowledge provider.
"What Libya doesn't lack is bright legal minds. There are practices which need to be reviewed, and that's because of the lack of vocational training under the Gaddafi regime. But I think with the right technical assistance and the right initiatives for capacity building from the international community, from organizations like the ICC and the UN, and from the international development community, as well as people like myself and my colleagues in my organization, Libyan lawyers from the diaspora, we can help them to develop their capacity in such a way as to meet the challenges of post-revolutionary Libya."
In the case of Uganda, the role of national courts in judging atrocities is being more and more embraced by society, even if it's taking a long time, as Judge Dan Akikikiza, head of the International Crimes Division of the High Court of Uganda, explains.
"Recently we had our first case involving some of the rebels in the bush. That was Uganda versus Thomas Kwoyelo. We opened it in September. And the people around who were affected, especially the victims, they were overwhelmingly interested in this trial. Crowds and crowds of people actually turned up at the court in Gulu to witness the opening of this trial. So you can see on one hand, people were interested to see that at least in the long run, justice is being realized."
Binta Mansere, Registrar of the Special Court in Sierra Leone, stressed how important it is to communicate the role of the courts to the wider society.
"The fact that this court was based in the country that where the crimes took place gave us a unique opportunity, an opportunity to interact with the larger society, an opportunity to develop an outreach program. That is singularly important for me because if you're dispensing justice, transitional justice, you're doing it in the name of those who suffered. So they should be able to have the opportunity to be part of the process."
But promoting complementarity is a group effort, says Ambassador Thomas Winkler, Undersecretary for Legal Affairs of the Danish Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Denmark is one of the focal points, together with South Africa, of the Assembly of State Parties on the issue of complementarity.
"I think it's important that others, also outside the ICC and the ASP system, promote complementarity in reality and on the ground. This requires probably some sort of setup. This is one of the things that we're discussing here. How could we How can we put all these bring all these actors together, sort of outside the ICC and the ASP framework, but still with a very, very strong link to the ASP?
Another important topic discussed at Green Tree was the relationship between development and justice. Attendants agreed on the importance of both elements in order to construct a sustainable and peaceful society. In Judge Akiki Kiza's words,
"You can't have economic development without security. And also you can't have economic development without law and order. And the courts implement law and order. So even if you have development, you have investors. If the investors can't operate in an atmosphere where if there are disputes in their business transactions, they can't have been resolved legally and peacefully. So in my view, all of them should be implemented at the same time. Nothing is priority to the other."
In some countries like Libya, it seems that development and justice do not go hand in hand yet. Tariq El-Toumi explains.
"I see the role of development agencies in relation to complementarity as being one where they become closer to the judicial community. And there seems to be a disconnect between the two communities where the development communities pass the buck and say, you know, it's up to you guys to implement rule of law and then we'll come in and do our own thing. I think their work complements each other very well. In Libya, I'd like to see that through the development community providing assistance directly to the Libyan legal profession and to members of the Libyan judiciary. And in that way, further the promotion of the rule of law in a very active and direct way."
Binta Mansere agrees that the link is still not sufficiently defined.
"What I expect out of this meeting is a further clarity on the link between development and transitional justice or international justice. To our minds, the link is very clear. However, those who should assist in implementing this link, in seeing the link and making it real, I think further clarity is needed."
Yet other actors, such as Heidi Rombots from GIZ Kenya, even consider the debate of which one comes first, justice or development, old-fashioned and redundant.
"Instead of sequencing security, development and justice measures, it is more and more accepted that these different processes are not linearly connected, but more in a circular process, interconnected and fundamentally interconnected. That means that you cannot just start working on one and then after that on the other. At the same time, it has to be recognized that certain framework conditions need to be present to move from humanitarian aid and total emergency aid working on sustainable development and more complex issues as justice. But it's also more and more accepted that the earlier justice development come into play, the better and the more sustainable the contributions will be."
The meeting at Green Tree was hailed as a major step in turning the debate about the different aspects of complementarity principle into a discussion on a roadmap of the process of implementation. One of the main outcomes of the gathering was the initiative to create a coordination body consisting of development and justice actors to analyze what is required to effectively implement complementarity in specific country situations. This is a major step in ensuring that accountability for mass atrocity does not stop with a few high-ranking individuals at the international level, but empowers societies where the crimes happen to deal with perpetrators and achieve justice for victims. Stay tuned for the next in the podcast series on the future of international justice and complementarity, where we in more detail discuss the current situation in Libya with Tariq El-Toumi, Program Director of Lawyers for Justice organization from Libya. Thank you for joining us.